Christian has the favorite, one of the favorite indoor game is called Let's Judge. This indoor game is very strange, but however, it's been played by many Christians. They will find anyone who is different than them. It can be look different, smell different, act different, or sound different, or can simply have less money. It can be a problem. Then they will start to play a game. They will find that person. But however, before they play, they have to go through a few steps. Number one step is they find something about those people. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything can be used. Step number two is they examine anything they can think different. As I said, smell, outward difference, health, difference in health, difference in finance, anything can be used. However, they do not look into inside of that person's heart. The only thing they care about is the external appearance. Third step is that we come up with our own critical opinion. Since we came up with that opinion, it should be the fact, right? That's done deal. Doesn't matter whether it's opinion or not. Motive, we don't know the whole story. Unknown fact, doesn't matter. It's opinion is enough. Fourth step is we jump into incorrect conclusion. Fifth step, we label them. Sixth step, since we decide everything all by ourselves, it's a good time to spread that thing to people within our clique. That's what we call Let's Judge. This game that is very popular among Christians. I hope we do not do that in this Calvary Chapel of Sarita. I told before, if I find a clique, I will do everything within my power to destroy the clique, including expelling people. I'm not joking, because people got hurt. Brothers and sisters got hurt because of the cliques. If I think I'm better than you because my finance is better than somebody, or if I think I'm better than you because I'm healthier than you, if I think that I'm better than you because I know a little more verses than you, I should be condemned. I should be convicted. Judging game is a damnable thing in Christian world. This judging game is wrong. It should not be in the church. Because we do not know all the fact. We do not know the motive in the person's people's heart. With that in mind, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are guilty of this playing game called Let's Judge. We are asking your forgiveness for our sins. Whatever we had in our heart, the wrong labeling people, we are asking you to cleanse us, forgive us from all unrighteousness. And we are asking you to guide us to the whole path of righteousness for your name's sake. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to be right with you, especially thinking about other people. Let us not think too much of ourselves, but think about other people in a favorable way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do I turn this off? Oh, there it is. Duh. All right, verse 1 of chapter 7. Judge not. That word, this two word has been used very frequently. If you notice, there are some brothers and older sisters when you find they are having an ongoing sin. And you confront them and they start to say, judge me, don't judge me, brother. It's in the Bible. You cannot judge me. Have you ever heard that? Probably you have. I heard. It become, they using this word, a portion of verse out of context. Literally out of context to defend their ongoing sins. Does it mean God says, Jesus telling us we should not judge anyone? No, that's not what it says. All right. We'll go down to this verse 6 from the beginning. Verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, turn and tear you in pieces. How can we say that unless we judge somebody? Jesus is telling us, don't judge. However, he is telling us, judge. If they are the pig or dogs, don't give them anything true, any good things. That's not the only time we find it. We find many other times that we'll go through each one of them. He's telling us to judge, but however, there is a string attached. What kinds of string? We will find them. The word judge in Greek was krino, K-R-I-N-O. It means decide, distinguish. What are we deciding? We tend to decide people with outward appearance. We tend to decide people with the result. We don't know what kind of motive they have or what kind of situation they have in the background. However, we just decide what outward appearance and make a decision. We can get in trouble by doing so. That's why he said, judge not. We have to know all the fact. Let's go to John chapter 7. John is a couple books. If you turn to the right, you will find the book of John. John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus is speaking, do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. In other words, God is telling us to judge, but be careful with the righteous judgment. Let's go to the Galatians chapter 1. Galatians is right after 2 Corinthians. Continue to go to the right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Everybody got there? 6 through 9? All right. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if we or angel from heaven preach on any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Very strong word. You can bring this portion of verse to anyone who tried to tell you any other gospel other than gospel we are learning from this Holy Bible. That's including Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, so even the Seventh-day Adventists. Why? Seventh-day Adventists, they said, by following the law, you will be saved. And you have to be baptized. Anyone, doesn't matter whether they're a denomination or anyone, if they're telling you any other gospel other than gospel according to Jesus Christ, don't listen to them. They're a cult. Without a doubt, I will tell you. Two more verses. Philippians chapter 3. Couple more books to the right. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 2. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs. This is when you start to break into song. Who let the dog go? Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. You're judging. Literally, God is telling us to judge those people who are coming up with any other gospel. Okay, let's go to the go all the way down to the 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. If this is the first time in Calvary Chapel, you are not familiar with what we do. We use Bible. We don't use any other book other than Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. It's the only book we need. No other book. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. In other words, he's telling us to judge whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. All right, let's go back to Matthew. Some judging, therefore, is not only the acceptable, it's a mandate. He's telling us to judge. In other words, he's not telling us to follow somebody with a blind faith. Test the spirit. Christians are called to be unconditionally loving. We are to love everyone unconditionally. That doesn't mean we are to unconditionally accept and approve everything comes along. Then what does Jesus mean in verse 1? Quite simply, he wants us to be not highly critical. Think about where we are and what kind of situation we are in before we start to judge other people. So we have to go into the verse 2. Before we go in there, a couple things. People with the prejudice and legalism are very good candidates for the sin snippers. I call them sin snippers, and there is other people, other Bible teachers call them sin snippers. Who are they? They will go around and think that they are more spiritual than anyone else. And they're walking around with a spiritual chip on their shoulder, and almost like they are self-appointed Holy Spirit death squad. Or gospel Gestapo, I call. And they walk around thinking that they is a God-given authority, God-given job to judge everyone else. Are they perfect? No. Do they make a standard? You can bet on it. They make a standard so high, no one can reach, including themselves. Who are the Jesus speaking to in the Sermon on the Mount? Whom? I'm asking you. Are they believers or non-believers? Believers. Who are the appointed people, the object of the people that Jesus is talking about? Pharisees. Remember at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he started to talk about this, don't be like them. Because they are hypocrites. Remember hypocrites? There is people with a two masks, one with a happy mask, another with a sad mask. And they are acting. These people, hypocrites and Pharisees, they are acting in front of people as a religious leader. They are pious. However, when it comes to their own private life, it's a filthy dirty. Do we do that? To my shame, yes, I did. Probably I will. Do you do that? To your shame, probably you will. And you did. Don't look at me with that holy look. You've done that before, right? We have to admit that. We judge other people without knowing anything. So we have to realize when we start to judge people, we're putting ourselves into the position to equal as ultimate judge, who is God. Does God know all things? Yes. Do we know all things? No. But we put ourselves into that position. Let's go to one more verse. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I mean 1 Corinthians.
Duh.
Romans chapter 14 verse 4. Romans chapter 14 verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or fall. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. See how we try to equal ourselves in God's position by putting ourselves in the judge position? All right, let's go back to verse 1 of Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, whatever the measurement we owe, the punishment we give them out, we will end up having that kind of punishment. It is harsh to dish out. If we are harsh to dish out the punishment to other people, guess what? We will be dished out harshly by other people. If we forgive other people and gracious to other people, we will be forgiven. In verse 12 of chapter 7, let's go there. I'm sure you guys heard this. Therefore, whatever you want the men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. See, God is telling us to do it to the people as you want them to do to you. It is a very important golden rule. Let's go back to the verse 3 of chapter 7. And why do you look at the speck in your, underline speck, please, in your brother's eyes, but do you not consider plank, underline plank, in your own eyes? Or how can you say that to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eyes, and look, a plank is in your own eyes. In Greek word, a speck is a kapros, K-A-R-P-H-O-S, kapros. It's the tiniest thing that you can hardly see. It's in somebody's eyes. However, plank is dobos, dokos, not dobos. Where are they? There it is. Okay. It's your sister's dokos, D-O-K-O-S. It's almost like a 4x8 beam. Let's say I saw the speck in John's eyes. And I'm trying to get rid of the speck out of his eyes, but however, I have this beam coming out from my eyes. And trying to remove that. Before I try to remove that, probably I will knock him down with my beam. Jesus is making humorous remark here. I'm sure the people who were ridiculed by the Pharisees at the time, making a big chuckle out of it. Some of you guys, time to time, thinking about this kind of thing. How can he make such a joke out of this from the sermon? Charles Spurgeon said, the prince of the preachers said once, if you know how much I'm holding back, you will command me. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not lose laughing. In the Bible, Proverbs says, laughing is a good medicine. We get in trouble. We put ourselves in trouble because we don't laugh at our lives too much. We think we are so important to make everything so difficult. Make ourselves into the despair and depression. God has a sense of humor. How do I know? He made you. And God used me to teach the word to the American people. Do you think God has a sense of humor? You can bet on it. If God has a sense of humor, and Jesus showing his sense of humor, shouldn't we do the same thing? Let's not think about the life too seriously. It's not that difficult. Yes, life is difficult, but it's not that bad. Especially as a Christian. When we know that we have a retirement waiting for us in heaven, it's not that bad. This is, for the Christian, this is the only hell we are going to go through. Heaven is waiting. For the non-believers, this is the only heaven they are going to go through. Hell is waiting for them. Jesus does not saying that to telling us don't judge it, brothers and sisters. He's telling us before we start to judge them, check our heart, check our hands. If there's any blood in our hands, if there's any murderous thought in our minds, check our thought. Check our mind before we start to judge other people. He's not telling us do not judge. Before we do, check. All right. Let's make an example, biblical example. Most of you us know that David and who else? Bathsheba. Some of you guys think about Goliath. That's good. That's a victory. But however, David had his defeat. Bathsheba. A lot of us know about the incident with David and Bathsheba. Some of you guys are not familiar with it. Let me give you a quick explanation. King, who's supposed to be out in the battlefield, instead of that, he was hanging around in the palace, walking on top of the rooftop on the cool of the evening. And look over, there is a woman called Bathsheba, wife of Uriah, taking a bath. I have no idea why she's taking a bath in the public area, but she was doing having a bath. This man, who has wives and concubines, hundreds of them, he needed Excel spreadsheet to keep up with the names, but he wants her. It's not enough for him to have all that many women. It's not enough, so he had to have her. He took her in, and they had a one-night fling. And the news came from Bathsheba to David, saying, I am pregnant. This is not a good news for the King David. So to cover that moral decay, what did he do? Instead of repenting, he called her husband back from the battlefield to the home. He came in and thinking that maybe he will go lay with his wife, and then he's the one who is pregnant her, make her to be pregnant. Somehow, because of the loyalty of Uriah, that plot foiled. Problem is, it's getting bigger and bigger every day as that baby is growing inside of the womb of Bathsheba. So that's not enough. Instead of repenting at that moment, again, he came up with another hideous and ruthless plot. He made Uriah carry the death message in his own hand to his general Joab. In the battlefield, Uriah get killed. Of course, he's a widow. Oh, shucks, I'll take care of her. Why don't you come in as one of my wives? Seems like everything went well. We find until Prophet Nathan came up with this parable. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 1. This is Nathan speaking. I love to hear the page flipping. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. Rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe ram, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate his own food, out of his own food, and drank from his own cup, and lay in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare the one for wayfaring the man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. God is putting David into the exact place where he can draw the net. In verse 5, the David's anger greatly arose against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore the fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. With a plank in his eyes, with the adultery and murder in his heart. See, the plank is sticking out so much. And he's trying to remove the speck from this rich man's eyes. You follow me so far? And God's judgment is coming. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Nathan's long index finger jabbing his sternum and pointing him, you're guilty. What went out? Come on. I can vouch for that because I'm a practical joker. When I used to be at the Calvary Tucson, I was known as a pastor. I used to make all the practical jokes I can think of. Of course, I'm not the only one who come up with all the practical jokes. Now that my wife, who has an innocent look with an innocent blue eyes, she's sitting right over there. She come up with all this brilliant idea. I'm the one who is executed, so I get the blame for it, but she is in there too. As a practical joker, I have to remember one thing. What goes around? What? Comes around. It's not in the only practical joke. It goes in just about every realm. What we dish out harshly, it will come back harshly. Whom are the Jesus is speaking about? Pharisees. They're the one who is pointing finger at the people with as a religious leader and judging those people. Do we still do that? Yes. Let's continue. Verse 5. Hypocrite. First. Underline first, please. Remove the plank from your own eyes. Then you will. Underline then. I ask you underline first. I ask you underline then. It's very important for us to remember. You will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. A lot of people thought that this is the way to get away from the people who's convicting them. It is wrong. We can judge. First, before we go judge them, we have to check our heart and mind and soul. See if there is anything that we need to remove from our heart. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians is right after 2 Corinthians, as I said before, chapter 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, in other words, any sins, you who are spiritual, underline, you who are spiritual, restore, underline, restore. Such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Again, underline, spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Very important. Now, I ask you on the line of several things. You who are spiritual, if I'm doing something wrong, and any of you guys who are spiritual, come to me. Let's say, Jack, see that I'm doing stupid things. He comes to me. Before he comes to me, he will examine his heart. To do what? To condemn me? No. To convict me, used by the Holy Spirit. Judge what I've done and to tell me to what? Restore. You who are spiritual, to restore. The word restore is in Greek was katarizo. K-A-T-A-R-I-Z-O. Katarizo. It's a special word. It's not just any word. It's not only the restoring. The true meaning is resetting the bone. How many of you guys broke your bones before? I've done that. I dislocated my ankle. They have, as a doctor, the doctor come to me and reset my bone in the proper place so I can be healed. Did you get it? So I can be healed and go back to the original condition. Jack is not supposed to come to me to condemn me, to bury me on the dirt. Jack is supposed to come to me, restore me, set my broken bone so that he can be used as an agent of healing by the Holy Spirit. The idea of judging should not be to condemn somebody, to restore that person back in the path of righteousness. Do you have a misunderstanding on that? Do everybody understand that portion? Restore, not condemnation. And the spirit of gentleness has to be done in spirit of gentleness because we love them. There are a few things that we must remember when we restore somebody, when we judge somebody. Number one, we should check ourselves whether our hands are clean or our hearts are clean. We should examine our heart and our hands. But two, the speck is in that person's heart, in the person's eyes. It's very tender. We should be careful, very gentle, and loving. Thirdly, we are talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a family member. We don't treat our family member harshly. I know some of you guys are teenagers. You could kill us if your brother or the sister dropped dead, but you will miss them if that happens. Let's make applications. This playing judge, let's judge game, is addictive and destructive to the one being judged and to the one who is judging. It's a damnable thing. We should not do it to one another. But does it mean we cannot judge at all? You heard that's not what I meant. We have to judge before we judge. We have to judge ourselves so that we can remove a plank out of our hearts, our eyes, before we remove a speck out of somebody else's eyes. Application number one, let's examine our eyes, our heart, our hands. Let's go to one more verse, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Some of you guys know this by heart. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my anxiety, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Good thing to remember. It is good thing to self-exam time to time. Second application. Let's understand person's struggle and be gentle. As the Apostle Paul told us, spirit of gentleness. Third application. Remember, let's be careful how we dish out. The measurement we use will be measured with the same measurement. We dish out harshly, will be dished out harshly. Same measurement. Fourth application. Let's remember, the goal of judging is restoration, not probation. Let me repeat one more time. This is so important. I want everybody to understand. Goal of judging should not be probation, should be restoration. We want to come, them to come back. We want their broken bone to be set right. We want them to be healed and well. Another important thing, after they get restored, we should not stand over their shoulder and do the micromanagement and checking out every 5 minutes. Let them be. Give them your approval. Give them your affirmation so they can see, put a past over behind and look ahead, the road they will have to work. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. We have a communion, and Madam Communion Buddha, come on down. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior,